Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, it's Chris and Christina back with part two of Compassion Fatigue. Now, let's put a little disclaimer. I think in part one, we said there'd be three parts.
You didn't know. There was no think. You actually said three
we
parts.
We did. We totally lied. No, we thought there would be, but there's going to only be two parts. So I just wanted to clarify that. We're talking about compassion fatigue. Why, Chris? Why have we been talking about it?
Because I'm tired. I'm stressed. I'm fatigued. No, as a mentor, we hear a lot of stories.
Yeah.
And you want to hear people's stories. Sometimes stories are fun and easy and exciting to hear. Sometimes they are exhausting because they're painful and ugly. And it's, guys, there's no shame in that. That's a part of our journeys.
Yeah.
So sometimes mentors step into someone else's compassion fatigue. And sometimes mentors actually find themselves in compassion fatigue.
Yeah.
When you really care about someone and you take their story in again and again, this is where I find it. If I ruminate,
yeah,
you go over and over in your head about something someone said to you, and I don't put it aside at some point, that's when I find myself really being pulled into compassion fatigue.
Yeah, so go back and listen to part one if you haven't. We're going to define again the term compassion fatigue according to the Canadian Medical Association. Just a quick definition, it's the cost of caring for others. And we talked a little bit about who gets compassion fatigue: teachers, leaders, executives, ministry leaders, and of course, mentors. We gave some signs there, but today we're going to jump in with the topic of the role of social media on compassion fatigue. So I looked at a study from the University of California, Davis. And it says social media use may increase feelings of anxiety and depression, specifically in teens and young adults. Because of the addictive nature of social media, it activates the brain's reward center by releasing dopamine, which is a feel-good chemical. When we post something and our friends and family can like it, giving the boost of dopamine, and also the opposite is true, right? When we post something, we don't feel like we're getting approval, then it can lead into the sense of self inadequacy. So how does social media lead to compassion fatigue? In the palm of our hand, we have access to information and people that we were not, I don't believe, supposed to have access to. 30 years ago, what you read in the newspaper, that was your source. And today, we have so much information, it can lead to compassion fatigue.
Well, to bring this to an individual, on an individual basis, think about when you looked at social media, some platform, and you read a news article, have you stressed about it?
Sure,
and
yeah.
At the same time, you can do nothing about it. I'm not saying don't pay attention to the news. That's
right.
Not wise either.
Right.
But you can take in too much. So ask yourself, have I done that?
Yeah.
And what did it lead me to do? I was stressing, I was worried.
I was depressed, I was sad, yeah.
It does happen, so give yourself some credit. If that's happened to you, it's probably happened to the majority of us.
Right, so let's just look at some practical things that lead to compassion fatigue. Number one thing is when you take on other people's stuff. Chris, have you ever done that?
You know I have.
What does that look like?
Oh, boy. One of my statements, I probably shared in a previous episode on this podcast, is that my biggest challenge in being a mentor is when I want something for someone more than they want it for themselves.
Sure. It's like, so you take on, I want this change for you. Let's
right, because, help. Because I see what it could be like on the other side.
Sure.
So take on their stuff. It's like, okay, let's say you're dealing with depression. Let's say you're caught up in fear of a situation or some mindset. I want to try to convince you otherwise.
Yeah.
I don't know if that explains it clearly or not,
uh-huh.
But I don't do this nearly as much as I used to because I've learned it's so unhealthy for me and for them as well. Taking on their stuff. Or here's a simple one.
Yeah.
Did you ever stress about one of our daughters growing up, not growing up, but they're running late for school? Or maybe an important test, or maybe work.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw them in the kitchen making breakfast knowing, do you realize what time it is? You've done that with me before. Chris, I thought your meeting was at 9. It is.
It's 8:59.
No, if I'm late to a meeting,
right?
It's hardly ever. But I will stress you out just on that. But as an example, you're taking on my stuff.
Right.
Do you realize what time it is?
Yeah. We're not saying that one, if you've done that, you have compassion fatigue, but collectively these things add up to compassion fatigue. So that maybe will be a little bit better explanation. Taking on people's stuff as your own. I remember in a season in our life, many years ago, I was walking with a mentee, and there were some complicated struggles, and I found myself sinking in her struggles and getting involved and working out plans, and I was way in over my head. And it, thankfully, I was able to put some boundaries in place. But boy, when you take on people's stuff, it can lead to compassion fatigue. Being in unhealthy relationships in which responsibility is forced on you could be a contributing factor to compassion fatigue. Explain that, Chris.
Well, I grew up in that environment.
Yeah, sure.
Unhealthy relationships with my father and basically with my mother, although I didn't realize that until many years later. But my father was a very complicated, this is not criticism, he was a very complicated, sad man, actually. He battled with alcoholism my entire life that I knew him. That was forced upon me.
Yeah.
And so when he would drink too much, he would get angry. And I remember trying to soften the atmosphere. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
To me, that's being pulled into his stuff. Yeah. But it's also, I took on responsibility for the atmosphere of the home as a child. That's ridiculous. Because dad is angry and he may hurt someone or destroy some property we have. So I'll do what I can to soften the atmosphere.
Sure.
That's being pulled into responsibility that was never meant for me.
Right. And let's just be honest. We would love to say we just have healthy relationships, and those that aren't, it's because we've set good boundaries. The reality is we may be forced to be in a relationship where it's just unhealthy. I think about caring for your elderly mother. There was no one else to do that. Siblings were supportive, but we were here taking care of your mom.
And the reason, she went early on, she went to each of my siblings' homes.
Sure.
And they all did that.
Right.
But
it wasn't sustainable.
Right. At one point, she needed to, and it makes sense, she needed to settle in our hometown.
Right.
And so we knew.
So we took on the responsibility, but it was a little bit forced, and the relationship certainly was unhealthy. Sometimes those things are going to happen. So how do you walk through it without getting compassion fatigue? Talk about being a caregiver. So if you're a caregiver to an elderly parent or someone who has a chronic illness in your family, think about a caregiver. If you're someone who's constantly giving out, a ministry leader, for example, a caregiver can actually be a mentor who's not being poured back in or who's not taking healthy breaks for themselves. All of that is caregiving, and that can lead to compassion fatigue.
I have a good friend who is probably a decade older than I am. He is an excellent mentor, and he mentors and has a lot of different men. He's excellent at what he does. Probably 6 months ago, he sent me a message and said, "Hey, can we talk?" And he wanted to know, "Chris, how healthy do you think I am? How effective do you think I am at what I'm doing?" Because he had begun to doubt some. He had probably become worn down because he told me, "Chris," in fact, he did this. This is so wise. One summer he said, "Look, I've told all the men that I'm mentoring, who I am mentoring, I'm taking the summer off. So I won't be available unless it's a true crisis. I need 2 months off just to get away and take care of myself."
That's wisdom.
What that did for him, he was the real man that God made him to be. He came back refreshed, but he began to see something. Getting worn down.
Yeah, becoming self-aware. We haven't talked about that, but if you're living emotionally intelligent and if you're self-aware, you will recognize when you're in or approaching compassion fatigue. Also, when you've just been exposed to too many negative scenarios, whether in your role that you maintain in life, a pastor or mentor, leader, whatever, too many negative scenarios can really lead and give way to compassion fatigue. Anything else you want to say there?
No, that can happen in relationships, the news, maybe a job loss or a financial concern. Guys, hear me on this. it's many things that can cause compassion fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not one thing does it, or
it's
one
person. It's accumulative. That's a good point to say.
It is, because none of us get up in the morning and go, you know what? I'm going to do these good things in my life. I'm going to help other people. I'm going to care for other people so that I step into compassion fatigue.
Right.
That's not, it doesn't happen that way.
But if we're careful, it can.
We wake up one day and go, it's like the fog
settled
in on us.
Yeah. Unhealthy or no boundaries in relationship can be a contributing factor to compassion fatigue. Trying to solve, like you said, or fix people in our own effort. Lack of benevolent detachment. Explain that term to us.
A year ago, I would not have understood what you were talking about.
Uh-huh.
But there is an app for we have on our phones called the PAUSE app, P-A-U-S-E. It's put together by a man named John Eldridge. What it does is this. He talks you through, he uses God's word, the Bible, to help you assess your day, maybe the past day, current things going on. But he does this. He goes, we're going to mentally, emotionally, I even do it verbally, we're going to release people to God. God is creator of all things. He's a creator of every person. Guess what, guys? I'm not. I'm a very strong person. I have a certain amount of education, some experience. But man, I am so human. And I've learned to do this, benevolent detachment. It's like I'm not walking away from it, but I'm like handing it off. God, even you, Christina, you and I have a good marriage, but I need to, and I must do this. God, I release Christina to you. I release our daughters and our son-in-law, our grandson. I release every man who I mentor to you, Father, because I am so human. Does that take care of it?
Yeah. So benevolent detachment, just to keep it really simple, you are detaching yourself from a person or circumstances into the hands of God. God, they are your responsibility. I'm going to close.
Was that on your paper or did you have it in your head?
I had it in my head.
That's well said.
I'm going to close the mental and emotional tab in my head and give that to you. Lack of Sabbath rest and lack of soul care can contribute to compassion fatigue. Years ago, we just started saying if it's an important thing for the Lord to include in the Bible, we really want to honor the Sabbath. So our Sabbath looks very different than it has done years ago. But one of the things that we do, we don't talk about work. We try not to talk about heavy topics. We take naps. I don't cook. I cook the night before, or we have leftovers, or we order something. But we set aside one day a week as a time to really rest. That does so much for the mental.
I want to, it's almost like a math equation for me. I've seen it, guys. Chris Elledge works 5-6 days a week, plus a Sabbath equals no compassion fatigue.
Yeah.
Or very little.
Yeah.
Chris Elledge works 5-6 days a week, ignores a Sabbath, equals compassion fatigue.
Yeah.
Is that simple enough?
Yeah.
I've seen it in my own life going, Chris, you know this happens because your physical body and your mental and emotion can only take so much.
Right. So we've given you a list, and let's not forget the use of social media. We're not saying if you use social media, you're going to jump into compassion fatigue. If you become addicted like I have been in the past and information is overloading your brain and emotions, then yes, it can lead to compassion fatigue. So how do you cope with it? What are some coping strategies for dealing with compassion fatigue? Again, I love the Canadian Medical Association, and they came up with a few things that we'd like to throw out to you. They say practice mindfulness throughout the day by being aware of your thoughts, feelings, and physical sensations. We talked about this, being emotionally intelligent and self-aware. What am I feeling? Do I need to take a break here from thinking something or doing this piece of work? They say that when you start to feel anxious, help yourself calm down by focusing on your breath and slowing down your breathing rate. Feeling overwhelmed and out of control, take a moment to think about what you do have control over and what you can change. They suggest establishing a good self-care routine that includes eating healthy, getting more exercise, and getting enough sleep. I really like this, that they suggest reaching out for support, whether it's friends or family or a peer support group, and setting time aside for meaningful activity, which you can connect with yourself or with loved ones, and taking a break from the news or spending or giving yourself a time limit on how much you spend. And then the Boys and Girls Club of America say, find somebody to talk to, take time off, develop interests and hobbies, identify what's important to you, and plan to be alone at some point during the day, even if it's for 5 minutes. Those are some really good coping strategies to prevent compassion fatigue.
I want to say this. Look at what your how your personality is. What likes? What are your likes? What are your desires? What do you enjoy? So, for instance, you do this, Christina.
Uh-huh.
We have a patio back of our house, and I see you sitting out there sometimes by yourself.
Yes.
I don't do that enough, but you love the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say you are dealing with compassion fatigue, or maybe you're just feeling the stress coming on.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to be really good to get away by yourself, walking out the back patio door just a few feet, sitting at the patio table and looking at the green backyard.
Yeah, no phone, no distractions, just being, yeah.
So guys, maybe a good cup of coffee or a good cup of tea. It sounds simplistic, but when you find yourself leaning that direction, what is something that brings you some joy? Be wise who you spend time with in those times. Is it a person who always takes from you? That's not wise to give them probably that day.
Yeah, so we came up with just some strategies to keep from falling victim to compassion fatigue. And the first thing we have is this backpack image. We talked several times about taking on other people's stuff. And often I share this illustration that if I'm wearing a backpack and whoever I meet with through the course of the week, I take their stuff in the form of a rock. Oh, you're having troubles with this. Oh, let me put that in my backpack, this rock. Oh, you're having troubles with that. Oh, let me put that in my rock. Oh, you need a job, whatever. By the end of the week, my backpack is so loaded down with other people's stuff, I can't move. I can't function.
I have a funny story I want to share in that.
Yes.
Many years ago, probably, I don't know, 25, 27 years ago, this is before the 9/11 attacks happened in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
So back then, you could get on a plane and you didn't have to have your bag weighed, your carry-on. Back in the olden days. And so, again, I had no experience flying internationally, and I had this big duffel bag. It was loaded down. Guys, it was so heavy. I had it on my shoulder. I had a shoulder strap, and I thought, I have to act like it's pretty light. So as I was faking it. I was acting. As I wasn't doing anything illegally.
Yeah.
But as heavy as it was, they would say, sir, no.
Yeah.
You need to check that bag.
Yeah.
So what happened, I'm trying to walk as straight up as I can, smile on my face.
With the weight of that backpack.
Guys, it was crazy how heavy it was. And the attendant looked at me, looked at that bag. She said,
let's weigh
that bag. Guys, she said, that will need to be checked, sir.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay. So I took my camera bag out of the big bag. I just say that. Pay attention. How heavy are the things you're trying to carry?
Here's another strategy. If you will go back and look at a podcast, I'll list it in the podcast notes. We did a podcast with Michael Garrick about closing mental tabs. But it's a simple activity of if at 5 o'clock I want to complete my work items, then when I'm done, mentally I'm going to close that tab so that I can fully engage with my family from 5 o'clock into the rest of the evening. Closing a mental tab will really help you from falling victim to compassion fatigue. Tell us about release. We've talked about it a little bit. Is there anything else you want to say about being able to release things and people to prevent yourself from being in compassion fatigue?
I don't know that I'm the best one to answer that one because I do it better than I used to, but I still have difficulty releasing situations, usually with people. Now, no one's going to know this but me.
Yeah.
It's inside my head.
Yeah.
But sometimes I need a distraction in order to do that.
One of the things we were talking about too is we actively pursue renewing our mind according to what the Bible says in Romans 12:2, that we want to be transformed. We want God to transform the way we think by renewing our mind. And that's part of release, right? Learning how to release others.
I will say on the release, I remember years ago, you and I were going through an incredibly stressful time. We were working together for another organization. And the politics and the pressure was so heavy on us. I remember leaving the house, driving to the gym, and walking the track. And guys, you probably have had those times where it was so heavy that the idea of trying to exercise in any way was exhausting, but I knew I've got to get on my feet, and I began to walk the track, and I was listening to some music, and there's a particular song in it called Overcomer. Powerful. I was walking slowly, and I'm processing all the ugly things we were experiencing and felt really alone and overwhelmed. I continued to walk, listened to that music, and I will tell you, the physical exercise and the music, because music speaks to me. Again, what fits you?
Right.
Those two things helped me to release some of that stress that day.
That's good. Some other things that you can do about... Sometimes you need to limit conversations. Not everybody needs to know everything. And so be very wise with whom you speak with on certain topics. Regular check-ins with a trusted friend or a counselor, or have a debrief. If things are heavy, again, we just believe we're not meant to carry things alone. And so sometimes debriefing a situation that has been particularly stressful or long or traumatic, that can help getting insight from a trusted friend or a counselor to help you walk through that and kind of put it behind you.
You have a simple definition of debriefing?
No.
Okay, we had this happen to us. We're giving all the time. I'm not patting ourselves on the back, but we are mentors and we train people to be mentors. So we give, 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 which is good. We had an older couple come to us and ask us, have you guys ever had someone else sit down with you and just let you talk through some experiences? That's basically what it was.
Right. And this was a particular season when we had transitioned back to the United States. And they said, wow, you lived 9 years in a different culture. Would you like to debrief that time?
I thought, no one's ever asked us that.
It was so helpful.
It was so simple to me, but so helpful.
Yeah. Asking for help with practical things, especially in light of being a caregiver, ask somebody to pick up groceries for you or bring a meal. Asking for help really is a good form of self-care. It gives opportunity for people to love you well. So just ask for help. Setting healthy boundaries, we talked about that. Instilling some sense of personal rest and soul care, as well as Sabbath rest. And then finally, assessing the areas in your life which you can simplify to help balance your life and energy. One of the things that we've done, I wouldn't say that I'm an immaculate housekeeper. I do keep...
I am, personally.
You are.
They call me Mr. Clean.
I keep things pretty and you keep things clean, but... During a really stressful time when your mom passed away, I was like, I do not have the mental whatever to even sweep the floor. We hired a house cleaner.
Well, we had people coming in, family coming in.
Yeah. There's been times where we've had particularly busy weeks where we've ordered food in. That's one way that we can make life simple.
Okay. A listener could go, what? How can ordering food release or help you deal with your compassion fatigue?
Try it.
Some of you may order out a lot.
Yeah.
We're talking about...
Something that will simplify because I cook
in the
every
moment.
Day.
Something will simplify in the moment.
Right. Something... You could be somebody who goes, well, I eat out every day. Then cook your own meal if that brings you relief. And then assess if you need to fast, for example, a digital fast from something that's taking too much time, or to push pause. You can push pause on social media. You can push pause on watching the news. You can push pause on a relationship. If it is draining too much, if you are being drained more than you're being poured into, you are at risk for compassion fatigue. Take some action.
I want to close with this thought I had. Compassion fatigue will probably be a part of everyone's life at some point.
Mm.
So just take a deep breath and realize it will probably happen to you. It probably already has.
Mm.
But you know what? It doesn't have to dictate your life.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to control you.
Mm.
But it will control us if we don't take action steps,
make
healthy decisions to combat it. Like anything else, if I don't take care of my physical health, if I eat only junk food and whatever I want, I never exercise, I don't go to the doctor, I do none of those things, there will be physical problems as I age.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? If the doctor says, look, there's a problem here, Chris, physically, I start taking special care, my health can be given back to me many times. Guys, the mental and emotional aspects of our lives are so important. Take care of them. Know when you are walking toward compassion fatigue or when you're in the middle of it.
You know, you may be listening to this and go, oh my word, so-and-so needs to listen to this. Send this podcast to them. If you are a mentor, be self-aware. Be emotionally intelligent to recognize, ooh, am I getting dangerously close to burnout or secondary trauma as a result of compassion fatigue. Be aware of that. And then this is an excellent way to ask questions of a mentee to see where are they on this scale of compassion fatigue.
I want to say maybe women are more this way as well, but I know men are. I'm a man. I deal with men all the time. It is considered a weakness many times if a man admits he has compassion fatigue. Mm. It doesn't sound manly, mm-hmm. and it sounds really weak. Guys, the reality is you and I as men will deal with compassion fatigue. Be honest about it.
Yeah. So again, we'd love to call you to a point of action. Share this with a friend who could use this, could use the encouragement. So we know you have lots of choices, and we really appreciate you taking the time to listen to a Real Life Mentoring podcast. Today, we're excited to announce to you that we have Lori E. Kinney, CPA, as our sponsor for today's podcast. For professional CPA advice for individuals or small business, if you're looking for a blend of personalized attention and professional experience, Lori E. Kinney CPA firm is where you need to go. You can find her on the web at Lori, L-O-R-I-E, Kenny, K-E-N-N-E-Y, CPA.com. We'll have all of that listed in the transcript. As always, thank you for listening to Real Life Mentoring Podcast.